Will you stand with me this morning and take your Bibles and find John chapter 10? While you're finding John chapter 10, let me just share with you. We begin a series this morning entitled, I Am. We're going to look at the seven I Am statements of Jesus in the book of John. Relax, we're not going to look at all seven of them this morning. But throughout this month, and we'll conclude January the 8th as we move into 2023 with I Am the Resurrection and the Life. Talk about your dreams and God's plans for your life. But today we're going to start looking at I Am the Door. Next Sunday, Josh Means is going to be with us. Josh grew up in our church, and Josh is going to visit with us this next weekend. He's going to be preaching on I Am the Good Shepherd. The following Wednesday will be the Global Christmas Connection, which is December 14th. We've invited a dozen missionaries to come and meet with us. We have them from that minister all across the world. We have an aviation missionary. We have a motorcycle missionary. We have a missionary to the Spanish-speaking, to Tanzania, to children. We have them covering various areas, ministering in various categories. And they'll be at the different tables that we'll have that night. We'll be able to talk and ask questions and pray and get to know and hear their hearts and hear what God is doing across our world. Encourage you to be a part of that. That's December 14th. December 18th, our one service, be at 10:30, be here in this service, in this room. And it'll be at what time? It'll be at 10:30, no Bible classes. And then the 21st is the Wednesday, the carols and communion. We started this last year, had a great time. We'll have a service in here, some elements, Christmas elements, Word of God. And then after that, we will go and we will have carriages. Last year we had one. It was such a long line. We've got a second carriage reserved. Some balloon artists. Santa's going to make an appearance. It's going to be a great time as an outreach to our community. That's the 21st. And then on the 25th and 1st, for those of you that haven't looked at your calendar, Easter, Christmas and New Year's is on Sunday this year and next year. And so December 25th and January 1st, we'll have a 10:30 service here with no Bible classes. So make you aware of that. Today, as I said, we start a series, I Am. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells a parable. The parable is the story of the good shepherd. Josh is going to preach on that next Sunday morning. After he has shared that parable, we pick up with verse 6. This figure of speech, or this parable, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, or hey, listen up. I am the door. Say those four words with me, please. I am the door. One more time. I am the door of the sheep. Father, may the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. We submit to your lordship and will. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, welcome somebody. If there's somebody nearby that you don't know, introduce yourself, welcome them, let them know you're glad to see them here this morning, will you? Step out of your comfort zone. Hey, Pastor, will you grab me a bottle of water? Thanks. Whoa! That would not have been good. That would not have been good. Jesus boldly declares in verse 7 and 9 of that chapter, say it with me, those four words, I am the door. In your notes, he is the door of access. Verse 7 says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, there are two different types of sheep pens in the Old Testament. The first was what you would call a communal or a community sheep pen. And we'll put that sheep pen over here. It was a large sheep pen that may be able to hold up to 100 sheep. And the shepherd would bring his sheep in. He would hire a hireling. And that hireling would guard the sheep while the shepherd went to the city to buy the supplies. Then the shepherd would come back. Let's say I'm a shepherd. I put in 20 sheep. Johnny, how many sheep you want? 30 sheep. Charles, how many sheep do you want?
I'll take
10. You'll say 10. David, how many sheep do you want?
1,000.
We're talking about a big sheep pen. So 1,000 and 10, 30, 40, what did I say, 20, that's 40, 60. So 1,060 sheep are in this sheep pen. Thank you. So there are 1,060 sheep in this sheep pen. And listen to what John chapter 10 says. The sheep comes over, the shepherd comes over, and he says, hey, Fluffy, come here. Hey, Whitey, come here. Blackie, Stripe. And he calls all the sheep, verse 4 of chapter 10. The sheep follows the shepherd. Why? Because they know his voice. They didn't follow the hireling. Because the hireling was just there doing a job. But the shepherd was known to the sheep. This is the communal one. It's the community one. Now, my question to you before I move off this, do you know his voice? Can you differentiate his voice of the voice that you listen to on the internet, the news, the television, the phone, the whatever? Can you differentiate his voice? Regina amazed me, and some of you ladies would amaze me too. When your child would cry, you could differentiate their cry from the other cries of the kids. How many of you moms can do that, or you could do that? I don't know how Regina could do it. Now, I confess to you, I confess this in the first service. Guys, don't do what I'm about to tell you that I did. When our kids would start crying in the back seat, somebody tell me, what would I do? We're in the car driving, kids are crying in the back seat, Regina and I are in the front, what would I do? Exactly, I would turn the radio up louder. Because I wanted to drown out the noise. How many of you guys were bad just like me? Come on, raise your hand, confess it. Yeah. Now, for those that didn't confess and you weren't honest, how many of you will admit and realize my wife was not happy with that? Because I had a loud crying child, now I have loud music. But I'm trying to drown out the noise. Bethel, some of you have been listening to the wrong voice. You've tried drowning it out with other voices. In the name of Jesus, online this morning, in the name of Jesus, know his voice. Know his voice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the shepherd comes over and he calls the sheep. Out of 1,060, he calls his meager 20. Hey, Fluffy, come on. And they start following him. And look at what the Bible says in John chapter 10. He leads them into the pasture. Psalm 23. I'm going through it real quick. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm leading these sheep. That's public. That's large. That's communal. That's community. But now I'm leading them to a private sheepfold. Now, when you think of Jesus being the door, if you think of a door like these doors, that's not what it's picturing. In fact, they'll put a picture up here that shows you this would be something like what a sheepfold would look like. And as you can see, you're not going to put 1,000 sheep in. You're going to put 20, 40, 50, whatever you do. You're going to put them in there, and then y'all get the picture. And then the shepherd is going to get in between where the opening is. Listen to the words that I use. He is going to lay himself down and offer himself as the door. To keep in and to keep out. Josh will be talking next Sunday about the Good Shepherd. As the door, we must have that private place for the public race that we run. If you don't have that private place, the communal place is great. That's Sunday morning. But you got to have that private place. Because it's in that private place that he renews you so you can run the public race. Any of y'all like us, if we have somebody that's coming to our house and they call us about 10 minutes before they get there, they say, hey, we're on our way over. And we didn't know they were coming. Regina and I, we're going to scurry through the house quickly and pick things up and put them somewhere, and we're going to close the... And we're not going to invite you into that room. And you walk in, oh, your house looks so nice. Oh, that's just how we normally keep it. Now, we're not going to let you in our private place because that's where our dirt is. This morning, will you let him into your private place? Listen to what the psalmist says. He who dwells in that private place, the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As we move through this Christmas season, please, not for me, but for you, don't get so busy that you lose and leave that private place. You can walk in that private place, access to his presence, even when the world is going to the basket. Even when it's falling apart, even when you're in the crowd. Some of you need to begin to ask God to help you with patience as you're driving. I've seen some of you drive. And you're going to become more agitated because there are more people trying to get to the same place you're going. And how many of you know, Pastor Trey talked about this last Sunday. If they're in front of you and they're going slow, their grandma out for a Sunday drive. If they pass you, then they're wild and chaotic. You're the perfect driver. Just turn to your neighbor and just tell your neighbor, you're not the perfect driver. I didn't say it, tell them that you are. Some of you, how many of you turned to your neighbor and said, you're not the perfect driver, I am. How many of you, yep. Forgive them right now, for they know not what they do. Listen. In your presence, in that private secret pen, there is joy. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. May you dwell in his presence. Jesus is the door of access to salvation, the door of access to his presence. He's the door of access also to connections. This holiday season, God wants to connect you with some people. He's already gone before you. Be looking for some of those connections, some of those divine connections. I pray on a regular basis, God, give my family. I pray for all the adult members of our family. God, give every adult member of my family a divine connection today that they can be a witness. Ask God for divine connections. Allow him to be that access that moves you through the door. But I have a word of warning before I move off this. Some of you have had a door of access to some connections that you need to close the door on. You say, oh, Pastor, you're talking about so-and-so. No, not necessarily. If God speaks to you about that, fine. But it may be some movies you're watching. It may be that you are so consumed with the video game that you don't have time now for his presence. It may be that you're so busy working out that you're not working up. It may be that you're so busy watching and binging and enjoying that you're not being still. This holiday season, will you start slowing down and enjoy his presence? Secondly, this morning, a door is the means by which we get from one place to the next. We can't walk through walls. How many of you have tried to walk through a wall before? My personality is fast-paced, and Regina gives me a hard time. I'm constantly cutting corners, which means I'm hitting things, okay? Because they get in the way. And I don't know why Regina moves the walls sometimes. And I'll cut a corner. We have an island in the kitchen. And I promise you, over the 20 years we've lived there, Regina has moved that island many times because I keep hitting the corner of it. This morning, stop cutting the corners. This morning, in your notes, walk to the door of opportunity. God told the church in Revelation chapter 3, he said, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. I believe this Christmas season, God desires for Bethel, but God desires for Cheryl. God desires for Roberto. God desires for you to open a door that no one else can shut. Your job is to walk through it. Pastor, I'm scared. If you're scared, then it might be a God door. Because God wants you to be so dependent on him that when it succeeds, there's no one else that gets the credit but him. The Bible says he's a jealous God, which means he is not willing to share his glory. In fact, in the New Testament, the Greek word for church means ecclesia, is ecclesia, and it means called out one. That's what God has done for you. Now, I've talked about the church, but let me talk about you personally. God has called you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's called you to divine opportunities. Tell them that. To divine opportunities. I'm going to say it again. To divine opportunities. But often the greatest opportunities are hidden. So this Christmas season, will you allow him to open the door? Jeremiah says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Go back to the communal pen. The shepherd comes and he calls them. John chapter 10, verse 9. They will then go in and out and find pasture. So the shepherd leads them to the private secret place, and the sheep go in. The shepherd lays his life down in front of the door, but then he allows the sheep to come out and eat and go back in. Now, if you follow me, if he doesn't let them go out, what happens inside that sheep pen? Just common knowledge, common sense. What happens is if you've got 20 sheep, would you, we don't have that in the notes, would you go back to that sheep pen picture I had earlier in the message? Now, you see grass in there. But if I just put 20 sheep in there and I leave them there for one day, no problem. But if I leave them there for 3 months and I never let them out, what happens to that sheep pen? It stinks and the grass dies. He's got to let the sheep out of so they can come back for safety. This morning, what is God saying to you? What opportunity is he presenting to you? This has been a wild and crazy week in the office. And how many of you know that God prepares you before you actually find out, before you actually do things, before you actually even have opportunities sometimes? And so this past Monday, Pastor Trey came to me and he said, you know what, Pastor? He didn't say in these words, but he told me, and he's about to share with the, I believe the Lord's given us a door of opportunity. So, Pastor, would you share with them what God has been saying and what God's been doing this crazy week?
Sometimes God will give you an opportunity that doesn't really make sense. Opportunities sometimes are very hard.
Yeah.
And over the past couple weeks, God has opened up an opportunity for us. And we have prayed, we've cried, we've worried ourselves sick, to be honest. God, is this really you? And I want to let you know that yes, we believe that God has spoken to our hearts, and we've accepted a position as an associate pastors in Shreveport, Louisiana. And our hearts are broken because we love Pastor Elwin, Pastor Regina. Amen. And we love this church.
Amen.
And this church will always be very, very dear to our hearts. We came here hurting and broken and wounded. Pastor Regina and Pastor Elwin let us cry. They prayed with us. They encouraged us. They loved us hard, and so did you.
Amen.
You prayed with us and believed with us for a miracle, and we have two.
Amen.
Ezra and Elias.
Amen.
You guys have given us such opportunities to grow. You guys have prayed for us, and we love you guys so much. And so we're sad to leave, but we know that this will always be family.
Man.
And this will always be home. One of the interesting things and great things about this opportunity, even though it's hard, is that we will be closer to family. We'll live pretty close to Cass's dad, and we'll live about 2 hours from my mom. And with little kids, that has been something that has been a prayer of Cassidy's, to be back to our family. So we believe that God has answered that prayer, and we ask that you would pray with us. Like Pastor said, it doesn't make sense what we're walking into, what we're about to do. The church that we're going to is smaller than this church, and it's been hurt. And we believe that God has opened up this opportunity for us to go and to love people and to show them the love of Jesus.
Amen. So, yeah, let them know how much we love them. Come on, come on. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. We share this with you this morning because this past week they put the house on the market. We want you to hear up front what's going on, what's happening. We're looking at sometime after the first year of 2025 when they'll actually make the transition. I told you, it's been a wild and crazy week. When he shared with me on this past Monday what he felt like God was saying, man, my heart just broke. But when he sat down with me, before he even told me, the Lord spoke to me about what he was about to talk to me about. See, God prepares you, but you still don't have to like it. And I don't like it. Be honest. These aren't just co-laborers. These are friends. And there's a difference. And they're part of our family. And we'll be sending them off in 2025. But until then, in all seriousness, it'll all depend on the house and all that type of stuff. And so, but it'll be sometime in the first part of the year, whenever. You pray for them, pray with them, and encourage them. We love them. One more time, would you let them know we love them?
Appreciate you guys.
Love you, man. Bless you.
Thanks.
Bless you. Thirdly, this morning in your notes, God gives us a door of protection. God walks, hallelujah, God walks before you, and he's a door of protection. First of all, he protects us from ourselves. How many of you know we're our worst enemies? We are. We're our worst enemies. And yet, God will protect us even from ourselves. How do we do that? We do what Peter said and gird up the loins of our minds. Just pause here a moment. You know, I know most of you, but I don't know what happens day to day in your life. But there are some of you, you need to do what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We don't wrestle against principalities and powers. That's not where our battle is. But against other people. Our battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. And then Paul goes on, he says, casting down imaginations. Some of you need to get control of your thoughts because you are thinking yourself into defeat and into bondage. God has protected you, but you've got to make a choice. Pastor, I don't see. I understand. When Pastor Trey talked to me this week, I'll be honest with you. It's been one of the worst weeks I've had because, man, I don't want them to go. But I'm not going to be an obstacle to what they believe that God wants to do. And I told him, and I'll tell you, we're going to bless them. We're going to send them. We're going to encourage them, and we're going to be there for them. But talk about you for just a moment. Talk about you. What door is God opening for you, but you're too scared to walk through? You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe that he's your protection. Pastor, will you come back up for a moment? He helped me in the first service, and there's some red on here. It's because the first service, we didn't do it right, and we cut each other, and so there's some blood. But I want you to take this, if you will, Pastor, and I want you just to stand that on the end of this night. Can y'all see it over there? Okay, now make it stand. Let go. Let's.
I can't let go.
Why can't you let go?
It'll fall. And cut you.
Okay. And this is really sharp. I don't even know what type of knife this is, but it is a sharp knife. It's a what? Exactly. That's what I thought it was. What do you do with it? Oh, cut She-Rock. Okay. I guess that's, it makes sense. Duh. I was just seeing if y'all knew. This knife is on the Word of God. If His Word is your foundation, if His Word is your foundation and God is holding you, you're okay. But Pastor, let it go. Don't grab it, but and let it go. Go ahead and let it go. go ahead and let it go. That's where some of you are right now. Because you're not letting him hold you. You're not strong enough. You're frustrated. You may be in this service or you may be online. You may be mad at God this morning. Please don't be mad at him. Build it on the foundation of the word. Here, bring one more time. Build it on the foundation of the word and then let him hold you. And when he holds you, we don't talk about, oh, look how that knife is standing by itself. That knife is only standing there because God is holding it. Thank you, Pastor. Will you put that up? Thank you. Will you let God hold you this morning? See, life is bumpy. Life is full of potholes. But Jesus is safe. We keep our vehicles a long time, so one of the things I buy in the early years of our vehicle is a front-end alignment. There's a store here in the city that does a lifetime front-end alignment. And so I buy that front-end alignment, and it's expensive to start with, but when you keep a car as long as we do, you get the money back. You make the money. Some of you this morning, I'm talking spiritually now, some of you this morning have hit some potholes, and you need a front-end alignment this morning. I don't know about you guys, but those speed bumps on the road, they aggravate me. And I swerve, I try to miss them. Oh God. This morning you've gone over the speed bump. Maybe you were going a little too fast. This morning, allow him to give you a front-end alignment. Because you got a lot more travel to do. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you come back? Let me close by giving you an illustration here. God's people, Israel, were about to come out of the Egyptian bondage. How many plagues were there? 10. Way to go. Boy, y'all are brilliant. There were 10 plagues. 9 had already occurred. Exodus 11, verse 3. 9 have already happened. The 10th is about to happen. This is what God said. The Lord gave the people favor. Everybody say favor. in the sight of the Egyptians. I believe this Christmas season, God wants to give every one of you. Me? Yeah, you. Every one of you, favor. One of the things I pray for my family, we have six adult members in my immediate family. One of the things I pray is, God, will you help every one of us to have a divine appointment with you today to witness to somebody else. Lord, help us not to just spend this day for ourselves. This Christmas season, God wants to give you favor. You gather with family and friends. They don't know Jesus. You don't have to preach. Let them see the joy of the Lord. Let them hear the peace of God. Let them know the love of Jesus. Father, I just pray favor over this congregation. I pray divine appointments as they meet with family, co-workers, friends. Favor. As they walk in your presence, that access to your presence. So let me finish the illustration this morning. So the 10th is about to happen. The 10th plague is about to happen. And if you remember the story, God told Israel, I want you to take a lamb, I want you to kill that lamb, and put the blood over the door post and over the lintel. I want you to put it over that. And listen to what the word says here in verse 13 of chapter 12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death shall not touch you. In the name of Jesus Christ, there are some of you. The enemy has come. And our verse of the week is John 10:10. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's come to steal your dream. He's come to take your health. He's come to steal your finances. He's come to break your marriage. He's come to destroy your family. He's come to hinder this church. He's come to hinder your job. He's come to mess up your car. He's come to take your joy. He's come to cause you to compromise and become part of this world. But listen to what God told Israel. He said in verse 13, this plague of death will not touch you. In the name of Jesus Christ, may hope revive. May dreams come back this Christmas season. Pastor, we've been estranged from our children for years. In the name of Jesus, may families be restored. Pastor, my marriage is on the rocks. In the name of Jesus, may marriages be healed. My finances are in the hole. First of all, don't spend money you don't have for Christmas. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it. But my kids will be disappointed. Teach your kids what's important and what about Christmas, what Christmas is about. Teach your kids. Well, this is what my wife wants. If you can't afford it, don't put yourself in bondage. Money is a horrible thing to be in bondage to, but it's a great thing to be your slave, for you to be controlling of your finances. So God told Israel, I want you to take the blood, I want you to do this. And then listen, this is a lengthy passage, I'll have it on the screen. He said, when you get through, when you go into the promised land, you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. When your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? This is what you say to them. This Christmas season, may God give you some stories that are not just for 2022, but they're for 2023, for 2024, 2025, for 2030, 2040, 2050. That when you sit down, you're able to tell this story. One of the things growing up in our home that Dad would do before we would open up the Christmas gifts, we would read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. Now, when you're a little kid, can I just be honest with you? You don't care about the Christmas story. But you know what? It taught me what was important about Christmas. One of the things we've instituted in our home, when our kids are there for Christmas, we do communion before we open the presents. Reminded them of why he came in the first place. The Amos family, Joel's told me before, and I don't know if y'all still do it, they would do a birthday cake for Jesus at Christmas. Do some things that makes it about him and not about your tree and not about the presents. So that in years to come, you shall observe this right. And when your children say, hey, Daddy, why do we do this? You can say, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but he spared our homes. Tell your children, your grandchildren, this is why we do what we do. Bethel, can I tell you this morning, listen to what the word says. He says, you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. He says, God is my defense. I shall not be moved. The Lord is my refuge, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Let him be your strength this holiday season. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, Jesus said. I'm the door, so you might have life. Have it more abundantly. Will you bow your heads this morning? With heads bowed today, you say, Pastor, this morning, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him as my Savior and as my Lord. I want what you've talked about. I want him to be the door, the access. I want the opportunities. I want his protection. With heads bowed, I'm going to lead us in prayer. It's a simple prayer, asking him to forgive us, asking him to be Lord, and then declaring that he's Lord of our lives. As I lead us in this prayer, this congregation is going to pray it after me. And as we pray today, if you desire this relationship, we invite you to pray this prayer. This is not a prayer for membership. This is not a prayer of being good or bad. It is only about relationship. As I lead us in this prayer, would you join me as I pray this prayer and the congregation prays after me? Let's pray. Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I submit to you. I thank you for forgiving me. And I gladly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you for doing what I have asked. Now, with heads bowed, respecting the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, I asked Jesus to come in my life. I asked his forgiveness. I surrendered to him. I made him Lord. When I walked in this place an hour ago, my relationship was not right, but it's right now because of Jesus. All across this room, online, would you just respond and say, Pastor, that's me. If you're in this room, I'm going to ask you to do two steps of faith. Number one, slip your hand up. Number two, just raise your head up and we'll just make eye contact. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? You say, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? This is beautiful. Thank you. God bless you, man. This is what it's about, church. If you're online, go to BethelE3.org. Click on the page there where it says prayer requests and just make that commitment this morning. Thank you. God bless you, man. Who else? This is what it's about. I am the door. Anyone else, you say, this morning I made that decision. Thank you, lady. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anyone else before I move on? Would you stand with me this morning? Can we give the Lord a praise offering and say, thank you, God, for what you've done, you're doing, and you will do, for you are faithful. You're good, Lord. In just a few moments, they're going to lead us in a song, and as they do, we're going to open the altars. We want to invite you to come. You can stand or kneel, whatever you're most comfortable with. Some of you need to come because you need access. You need to step into His presence. You're stressed out this morning. Work is not the curse. The stress of work is the curse. They worked before the curse came. Work is not a four-letter word. Work is not a four-letter word. The stress of it is what God doesn't want you to have. Father, in Jesus' name, may some of us just enjoy our jobs more. Bring us joy in the midst of our job. Instead of getting up in the morning, on Monday morning, go, oh, goodness. We can go, thank you for your goodness. Some of you need to walk into that access of His presence because you need that joy. You need that rest. You need that defense, that protection. Secondly, you need to step into a door of opportunity. Lord, I don't know where, but yes. I don't know how, but yes. I don't know what I'm going to do, but yes. Whatever you're asking, the answer is yes. I'll go. I'll do. I'll say. I'll do it. Me. Yeah. Thirdly, some of you need the protection. You just need to know today, I'm holding you. As long as you stay on the word, I'm going to support you. As they lead us this morning, will you come? Lead us. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this service. Father, we pray now for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate, to do what only you can do. May the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of exhortation, gift of healing, gifts of miracles. Father, we pray for the gift of discernment. Father, as men and women pray one for another, may your spirit flow. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on. If you desire prayer, come on.